What would National Hunt Racing be without a little choice? Jockey or trainer? Bay or grey? Form or silks? And now, Paddy Power's new money-back tokens give you even more choice, because you choose the race to apply your token to. Get money back as a free bet if your horse finishes in the designated places on a race of your choosing. Just look out for our money-back token promos and claim your token however you like. Paddy Power. Applies to races with eight or more runners. Opt-in required. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome along to another episode of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. This is the uncovered, unplugged version. Me and Rory DeLargy going acoustic. Everyone else is crying off sick. Ruby Walsh is off sunning himself somewhere. Ryan McHugh is ill. PK is on holidays. So it's just the dynamic duo of myself, Tom Nugent, and Rory DeLargy bringing you through quite a busy Saturday on ITV Racing. Before we get underway, a couple of bits to look out for. The Cheltenham 2024 review show in the company of Ruby Walsh and Rory DeLargy is now available on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel, and it is a cracker. Some great opinions and some great hottest of hot takes on there as well. So make sure you subscribe to the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel, and while you're there, hit the little bell that will give you a notification every time a video goes live on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Lots of really good content coming towards you on that platform in the run-up to Aintree, Punchestown, and on into the flat season. With all that in mind, Rory DeLargy, how the bloody hell are you?
I'm getting slightly concerned for my health now with Ryan going down mysteriously, but we'll soldier on.
I just know,
be careful what I eat.
Yes, yes.
Make sure I get someone else to taste it for me, you know?
Yeah, make sure nobody gets at you. As I mentioned, I won't ask you for any Cheltenham reviews because that's all available on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. But back to the grind. Are you tickled by the return of the turf season? Does that get you going, or not quite so much?
It doesn't get me going as much as some. There are a few for whom it's a quasi spiritual experience, but for me, it's just a little bit of something different. A slightly different focus. And as they say, a change is as good as a rest. So it's always refreshing to some degree.
I would say allegedly a change is good as a rest. Sometimes a rest is just nice as well, but I suppose that's for the bosses to decide when we actually get a breather. But anyway,
it does say a change is as good as rest. It doesn't say a change is undoubtedly what was the phrase? More than an equal for a rest. Just the same.
Okay, yeah. Very good. Well, no rest for the wicked this weekend, because we've got three very busy meetings to look at, a handful of races from Doncaster and Newbury, and just the one solitary race to look at from Bangor on the D. And we're going to get things underway by looking at Doncaster first. And of course, it is the Lincoln meeting, so a lot of our old turf favourites reappearing for their turf seasonal debut, as well as a few juveniles making their course debut in the Brocklesby. So a brand new turf season unveiled at Doncaster this Saturday, live on ITV Racing. First race we're going to take a look at as the 120 at Doncaster. It's over the straight mile. It's the William Hill Doncaster Mile Stakes. It's a listed race, and we have betting here with Paddy Power. Knight is the 2-1 favourite for Harry Davies and Simon and Ed Crisford. 11-4 Sharon. 4-1 Astral Bow. 5s Holloway Bay. Patissac is 9-1 and 12-1 at the beginning of the rest. Rory DeLargy, take it away with the 120 at Donny.
I was pretty keen on Astral Bow here. And you don't have to look too far to find reasons why she'll go well here. She won the race last year by 4 lengths on heavy grounds, and that was a career best effort for her. She ran very well on occasion afterwards, particularly when beaten 3/4 of a length in the Princess Elizabeth Stakes at Epsom on Derby Day. She'll probably find the ground a little bit too quick for her right at the end of the season when well held in the Rosemary Stakes at Newmarket. But she goes well on this ground. She never raced on particularly soft ground. Subsequently, it was soft enough at Newmarket when she was a good third in the Dahlia Stakes. in Group 2 company. This is her level, essentially. She's a tough, genuine mare who goes well fresh. And Pam Sly, always slightly underrated. So you get a reasonable price. I think she's a 4-1 shot generally at the moment. And she doesn't have much to find with either Knight or Sharon, who are marginally ahead of her on the time form ratings. But I know she'll bring her game here. She'll run very well. Sharon was winless last season. He did catch the eye on multiple occasions and was campaigned in Group 1 company. But, you know, he had to... I'm never that keen backing four-year-olds early in the season because you're never quite sure which horses have progressed from 3 to 4 and which have essentially peaked already. I certainly give him chances, but he's not as attractive a betting option as Astro Bull is. And Knight's bound to be short. He was winless last season as well. But again, he's always shown his best form on very deep ground. He won the Horace Hill, I think, as a juvenile on heavy ground, and he was placed twice in Group 2 company and listed company last year on a similar surface. But he's well found in the market, and he wears a visor for the first time, which might improve him, but you never really know. Sometimes the head could go the other way. So a couple of minor question marks about the front two in the market, whereas Astro Bull, I think you're pretty sure what you're going to get from her, and she'll give you a big run for your money.
Okay, Astral Bow in the ITV opener in up at Doncaster. Would you stray as far north than Doncaster in your line of work, Roy? I suppose it depends on what you have on, but would Doncaster call your name occasionally?
Doncaster hasn't so far, no. I've been based up north in the past, went to university in Edinburgh, did a lot of work in Leeds for the sponsors of this, but never got to Doncaster, so that's something I've got to fix at some stage.
Okay, very good. A quick word on ground conditions as well. I suppose these flat horses reappearing on what is likely to be fairly sodden ground in Doncaster. Is that a big watch out for you at this point in the season?
Yeah, essentially, you know, you're looking for horses who tend to go well early season, and most of the time early season means soft ground as well. So those horses who come to hand early and have got proven form on soft and heavy ground are what you concentrate on. Some horses get away with it if they've got the class, but you know, as long as you focus on those that are liable to be suited by conditions, then you can't go too far wrong.
150 Doncaster is the next race from the track on ITV. It's over 5 furlongs and it's the William Hill EBF Brocklesby Stakes. It's for the unraced 2-year-olds. And we're looking for market clues, we're looking for pedigrees, we're looking for trainers who can train 2-year-olds, Rory. What at this point in time is standing out to you? Because this is tricky.
It's tricky, yeah. Obviously, with no form in the book, you're just looking at horses who are liable to be ready. And you'd have been doing well last year if you found Dottie's Impact for the Robin Brisland Yard. But second last year was Balladero, running in the Ambo College for Dominic French Davis, and that was very well backed and was an above average sort who maybe run into one first time. And again, the stable has a very interesting one here. I wouldn't look too far beyond Mystical Elegance, a daughter of Zoo Star, who's a half-sister to a useful winner or two. Gypsy Spirit was a winner over this trip as a juvenile. And Georgetta won over 7 furlongs, a daughter of Knight of Thunder. She cost 45 grand. She didn't cost an absolute fortune, but you've got to remember the Brocklesby is just about, it's about precocity, and it's about people also, you know, being able to flex your muscles a little bit and show that you can get them ready. And what we found last year was the AMO juveniles were really, really well forward because they're all pre-schooled elsewhere. They go to a pre-trainer and they get very well versed in stalls work, and they're galloping early. They all tend to know their job. So while I wouldn't be absolutely certain that a draw in stall 15 or 15 is the ideal place to be, on the plus side, you know, you're near the stands rail. It's not easy if you get behind horses, but I'd have thought Mystical Elegance would be pretty sharp. And that's the one that I will pick for the sake of having a selection in the Brocklesby.
Okay, lovely stuff. Onwards as you go. 225 is, again, over the straight mile, up at Doncaster, William Hill, Epic Boost, Spring Mile Handicap, and a full field of 18 here, or a big field of 18 scheduled to go to post. We've got Lion Tower at the top of the weights for Grant Tuer, who, on the face of things, maybe, Rory, having had a stellar kind of 2021 and two, you'd be kind of forgiven for thinking maybe he had a quiet year last year, but he actually numerically did quite okay. He's a very good trainer on his day.
He is, a little quieter than he has been, Grant, but I actually backed Lion Tower in this last year. He finished ninth on similar ground off a mark of 89. He's come down the weights, and he does have the benefit of run this time. One thing that I thought was missing from the Tour yard last year, he did very well in 2022 with his horses coming off breaks. Horses starting off on the Tour season were winning at the first time of asking quite a lot, whereas last year they weren't so much. And it's interesting that Lion Tower came here without a run last year and looked a bit in need of it. He wasn't disgraced, but he finished midfield, beating 8.5 lengths. Didn't really perform in a couple of starts after that, but he'd been off for a long time after this race, suggesting he had an issue. But he came back last month and finished a good second at Newcastle, suggesting he's right back to his best. And I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him put up a big show. I think, having put up the horse drawn 15 of 15 in the Brocklesby, the horses I like here are all drawn low. And I think there may well be hopefully they can help each other and give a bit of a bias towards the horses drawn on the far side. They won't necessarily race against that far rail, but I've seen plenty of horses at Doncaster come out of low stalls and race towards the centre of the track and get the best of things, or even come across stand side. It's one of those tracks where, the draw only tells half the story. It's not necessarily a case of getting on either rail. You tend to want the race off the rail at Doncaster. But this is the first race of the season and things can change. But I do like those drawn low as a cohort. And the one that I like best of those is Thunder Roar. He's drawn a stall one. Son of Knight of Thunder, who was... he did catch the eye I didn't think he'd get into Lincoln, but he caught the eye, the odds that were available about him, because he's a horse who improved on testing ground last year. He was a winner over 7 furlongs at York, improved again to score over 7 furlongs here in October. And then was far from disgraced, switched to the all weather on his final start. The question with him is whether he will stay, but he's by Knight of Thunder out of a Duke of Marmalade mare, and there's lots of stamina in the family. So I thought he was a kind of horse who would keep improving, stepped up to a mile this season. I know that Tony Coyle, who now has Cian Wood on the license as well this season, I know that he likes to get horses ready for this season. He's a fairly local trainer, Tony. And he won first time out with this horse when it changed stables, moved from Kevin Ryan last season, and he won it the first time of asking. Kevin Ryan actually run this horse twice over a mile and once over a mile and three when he had it. So obviously they thought he would stay. He was keen in his early days, Thunder Roar, but he looked a bit more settled last season. I think he'll improve again for reverting to a mile. Jamie Spencer and I catching booking for that yard as well. And he would be top of my list. But there's also a couple there. May Song handles testing ground very well and is pretty reliable and fit. And Helter Skelter is a very interesting recruit to the Rebecca Menzies yard. He was with John Joseph Murphy last year. He very much caught the eye on his only run on heavy ground at Killarney in a maiden there in September, and then has had a spin on the all-weather just a week or so ago to get him ready for this. So I thought May Song and Helter Skelter were both interesting enough, and they're drawing in stalls two and three. So I thought, well, I might be a back Thunder Roar, and I might play the exotics here just in the hope that you've got a draw advantage as well.
Excellent stuff. Righto, let's move on. 3 o'clock, Doncaster, over 6 furlongs, is the William Hill Camage Trophy. It's a listed race, and Baradar tops the betting at 2-1 for George Bowie. David Egan reprising his role as the retained jockey for Ammo Racing. Marshman next in, 3-1 with Paddy Power Clifford Lee in the saddle for Carl Burke. 130 Orazio, Jim Crowley riding for Charlie Hills. Montasip, 5-1, 11-1, Sophia Starlight. 16s is A Day in Devon, and Glorious Angel is the rag at 100-1. Rory Gilargi, the Camage Trophy.
Yeah, I thought it was a tough race, to be honest. The one that does stand out is Baradar, who was a winner over 6.5 furlongs here on easy ground in September. He ran very well. I think he was third in the Guineas last year, wasn't he? But he looks like he's best short of a mile. Ran a stinker when we last seen in the Balmoral Handicap at Ascot. When finishing out the back, return to a mile. I think he might be an interesting horse, tried as a sprinter this season, but he's he's well enough found in the market, and he's going to go a favorite here. Racing over a bare six is you know, it's not exactly the same as when running in that 6.5 furlong handicap here in September, but he gives the impression he should adapt well enough to it. He's drawn in 7 of 7. If they stick on the stands rail, there could be a bit of traffic ahead of him as well. So it's not, he's my pick in the race, but I'm not mad to have a bet. I'm going to, you know, throw him in there as a selection because you've got to have a selection. But unless there's a suggestion that that he's very well drawn in 7, I'm inclined not to have a punt in the race.
Okay, very good. One of the feature races of the day on Saturday at Doncaster, and the final race from the track on ITV is at 3:35. It's the William Hill Lincolnshire Handicap over a mile. 6 places here with Paddy Power. We've got co-favourites of 3 at the time of recording. A Wow at 4-1 for Harry Davies and Simon and Ed Grisford. Liberty Lane there for Clifford Lee and Carl Burke also at 4-1. And to complete the trio at the top, much to Dr. Richard Newland's chagrin, Fozzie Stack making the trip with the Irish Lincolnshire winner. Chaz is me, Joey Sheridan in the play, trying to complete the Lincolnshire double. Johan is next in, 9-1 for Jack Channon, and Sylvester D'Souza also 9-1 is Latam, 11-1 the Gatekeeper, 12s Migration, 14-1 Blues Emperor alongside Thunderball and Vetiver, and it's 20-1 and Bigger the Rest. The Lincolnshire should be easy enough. Rory, give us the winner.
It should be. Lord, there's not a lot being given away. It's one of those races. If I was pricing it up, I'd be trying to be as careful as possible. I thought Latam was interesting. I'd have considered putting him up. He ran. He's an ex Irish Lincoln winner, isn't he? For William Haggis, who loves this ground. He's chain stable. He's now with Julie Camacho, but his price has shortened up a bit. You could have got 20-1 early in the week, and he was 12-1 yesterday. But into 8s, it's getting skinny enough for my liking. And Latam, you do want to try to get a little bit of value here, but it's not easy. I think with the high class handicaps, we've got to a stage now where you've got to almost be group class to be winning them. They're that competitive. And my tendency is to look down the weights and find something that's a little bit overpriced and might run well. But that type of horse might have won the Lincoln 20 years ago, but it's always something with sort of listed and group race aspirations to do these days. If I'll throw an outsider in there, who I think could be interesting. He's right down at the bottom of the weights, who I think will win races this season, and that's Spirit Genie for Jenny Candlish. He was with Jesse Harrington, came over and was beaten a couple of times beaten on his debut on the all weather for Jenny Candlish, and then she dropped him into a cellar, which doesn't sound like an expression of confidence at all. But he absolutely bolted up in a cellar at Leicester, won by 8.5 lengths, could have won by 15 if they wanted to, and then went and finished a very, very good second on heavy ground at Newmarket over this trip on his final run of the turf season. You can write off what he did next time. He was reported to have hated the all-weather at Wolverhampton. He came in, his run style wouldn't be suited by Wolverhampton at all. So I'd put a line through that. And what he really wants to do, he wants to come from off the pace in a bit of a slog at this trip. And I think he's the type to win handicaps this season. Whether any horse rated 86 can win a Lincoln these days is open to debate, but he's going to be a big price, and he's certainly worth a second look. But he's a rank outsider. He is an actual fight, 100-1.
Yes, Rory De Largy putting up a 100-1 shot to run a big race potentially in the Lincoln. 6 places with Paddy Power should be a help. Kieran O'Neill all the way down to 8-2 as well. So you're going to stick with Spirit Genie then?
Yeah, listen, I suspect that's going to be a value loser. As I said, it's probably going to be a one rung down the ladder where he does his winning, because, you know, I'm sure that one of these towards the head of the weights is going to win and then be running in the Bet365 Mile at Sandown or something on its next start. But that's just the nature of things, and it's hard finding value at the top. You know, all the obvious ones are single figure prices, and I don't want to be backing anything single figures in a race like the Lincoln. So yeah, might as well take it. I probably would have gone with Latam if he was sort of 16th or bigger, but 8-1 on debut for Judy Camacho is just seems a little stingy. Not that it's Paddy, it's across the board essentially. So let's go Spirit Genie at 100-1 and have a bit of fun.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to crab you for putting up a 100-1 shot if it doesn't come and deliver. So swinging for the fences in the Lincoln, looking forward to that. And that concludes coverage on ITV from Doncaster.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
The other meeting on ITV, we're going jumping down in Newbury, and coverage begins in Newbury with the 210. It's over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. It's the Bet and Play and Racing Bet Victor Novices Handicap Hurdle. And Into the Park is the 9-4 favourite for Michal Nolan and Philip Hobbs. 5-1 Ivywood for Jamie Snowden, Gavin Sheehan. 5-1 Spirits Bay also. 9-1 Cartoon and Co. alongside 135 Not Out, as well as Pretending. 10-1 I Love My Bay. And it's 11-1 and bigger the rest. Rory Delargy, the 210 at Newbury, what are you thinking?
I was thinking, would the Good Doctor be an appropriate winner this week of all weeks? But perhaps not. Having just looked at the betting for this, I feel on happier grounds. Cartoon and Co. at 9-1 strikes me as definitely overpriced. A Dan Skelton plot job and a handicap.
Never.
You can't beat those. He's
never.
I mean, he's not obviously a plot job, having won on debut and been placed in his three subsequent starts, but he's running really good company so far. He won well at Stratford first time out. That isn't a bad run. The horse that came second there, Billy the Real Big Red, won yesterday. I think that was his third or fourth win of the season. I think a third win of the season. Then he ran into one at Market Raisin, which has since gone on and been beaten narrowly in the Grade 2 Adonis at Kempton. And even his last run at Huntington, where he was on paper a little disappointing, he finished just behind Latin Verse, who was a bit of a gamble in the Fred Winter at Cheltenham. Latin Verse absolutely bolted up on his handicap debut on his next start. The winner of that race, Cabral de Matan, looks like a really good, really interesting recruit who we'll hear more of next season. Particularly, I'd imagine, when he goes jumping to fences, rather. But Cartoon and Co. was third there. A couple of those in behind have franked the form. Whispering Royal, his last run, okay. Next time out, Latin Verse, as I said, bolted up in a handicap. And to be honest, came in for a brain-dead ride in the Fred Winter. With apologies to Harry Reid, you don't try to make the running on the inside in a handicap like the Fred Winter. But yeah, I think that form's okay. And then last time out, I thought he was a massive eye catcher in his handicap debut, went second at Sandown behind Spice Drum, where he'd made the running in his first three starts. He was held up out the back at Sandown and give the winner too much rope. But I really liked the way he did very good late work in the straight to pass everything but Spice Drum. And what particularly impressed me that day, been watching it racing at Sandown all my life, and the number of horses who jumped the hurdles up the straight at Sandown cleanly, you could almost count on one hand. It gets very testing there. The horses get tired and they tend to make mistakes. They tend to be a little bit messy at their hurdles. He absolutely pinged every hurdle. The last horse I've seen doing that at Sandown was Constitution Hill. I'm not suggesting he's in that league. I'm just saying the fact that he was able to jump his hurdles so cleanly suggested that he wasn't tired and he had plenty more to give. He steps up and trip and he definitely stays. He's a son of Balco. He will say 2.25 miles, and I think that it's sort of almost 2.3 miles. That will very much suit him. He's gone up 3 pounds for that, but I think that's lenient. And I thought Carson and Co. should nearly be favourite for this race, and he is—he's only sort of fourth or fifth in at the moment, so he looks—he might be in that material at that price.
Oh, okay. We love it. We love a compelling case for Rory Delargy. Let's move on at 2:40 Newbury. Is over 2.5 miles. It is the Get Best Odds Guaranteed at BetVictor Handicap Chase. And Heltonham tops the betting with Paddy Power at 7-4. Eaton Kalina is 4-1. 9-2 Gunsight Ridge Solo. Remember him? 11-2. 8-1 Galahad Quest. 10s Gustavian and Sir Psycho is also 10-1. Rory, what are you thinking? The 2:40 at Newbury, competitive enough little race? Or is Heltonham head and shoulders?
No, he's not. He won this race last year, and he won his last start here. So he clearly likes the place, and he's interested. But the handicappers had a chance to reassess him. He went handicapping off. What was he when he won this last year? He went up to 134, and then was a faller in the silver trophy at Cheltenham in his next start. So he dropped a little bit. He dropped a mark of 100. And, well, he was racing 126 over hurdles. 130. He fell to when he won here last time out, but he's gone up above his winning mark again. And I just think he's vulnerable. But the problem I had was, I thought others were in the same sort of boat. Solo only wins races at Kempton. Gunsight Ridge isn't really a 2.5 miler. And he's a horse who tends to travel really strongly over 2 miles and not always find a huge amount of pressure. He's reliable. But I thought 2.5 miles might find him out. Galahad Quest, doesn't win enough for a horse of his talent. And Gustavian, I liked last time out. I put him up here at Newbury on the basis I thought he would get an easy lead, which he did, but he still wasn't quite good enough to win. He's been dropped for that. That was the race that Heltenham won. Heltenham's gone up £6 for it, and Gustavian's been dropped too. He would like the ground softer than it is. They're calling it good to soft in places. The going stick reading suggests it's softer than that, but it does dry out at Newbury. And it's noticeable. I'm not that far away. It's noticeable that that everything around here has dried up remarkably in the last couple of days, just for the sake of it being springtime and the moisture beginning to come out of the ground. Everything's been wet and flooded for a long time, and now it's feeling, you know, slightly firmer underfoot again. So that's the question with Gustavian, whether the ground being good to soft would not be ideal for him. He'll handle it, but I think he's a better horse when he's racing on testing ground, and it sort of holds others back. I'll make him the pick there, but again, he's probably not quite big enough for me to get involved. But I like him. I don't like him less than I don't like others in the race, if you see what I mean.
Okay, a kind of a perverse process of elimination, but whatever works.
He's the horse I hate least in the race.
Yeah, okay, very good.
In the nicest possible way.
Yes, okay. Final race from Newbury on ITV on Saturday is the 3:15. It's over an extended 2.5 miles. It's the British EBF Betfictor National Hunt Mares Novices Hurdle. It's a handicap, one of these new grade two handicaps. And 4-1 the field, El Elefante. 9-2 Party Vibe, Smiling Getaway 13-2, Larchmont Last 7-1, 10-1 Ubetti, K Tara Tara is 11-1, 12-1 Alfie's Princess, 14's Marmalade Time, and 16-1 and Bigger the Rest. Good competitive betting race here, Rory De Largy. What are you thinking?
It's a race I like. It's a race I like historically because it's been quite good to me. The one I like best here, a little bit shorter than I thought she would be. Again, the rating suggests she's got a little bit to do, but Party Vibes is a very likable mare, running in the colours of Richard Johnson Racing, the Johnson family colours, the colours that he wore when he rode his first ever winner. This mare is progressive. She's likable. She's not running a handicap yet, and to be honest, her opening mark does ask a little bit more of her, but she will improve for the step up and trip. She's by Mahler out of a beneficial mare. The dam stayed 2.5 miles herself. And, her pedigree and her style of racing suggests she'll improve the step up and trip. As I said, I was hoping to get a point or two longer. But I think she is the type to keep doing well. And again, like what I mentioned earlier, she's impressed with how she jumps. The other one that I liked in the race and who's a bigger price, is Marmalade Time from Mel Rowley. She was well beaten on her hurdles debut, and then she jumped left when she was third at Ludlow. She won at Doncaster last time. I thought she did it very gamely there. Her jumping still wasn't great, though. Although I thought the only real issue with her jumping was the fact that she went left. She sort of launches herself left at her hurdles, but she was actually very clean and very bold at the last two when she was challenged very strongly a mare called Betty's Tiara, who was also in this race until the declaration stage. Marmalade Time needed to respond and to jump well to win that race. And I thought, although she went to her left at the last two hurdles, I thought she actually jumped very cleanly and got away well. And I would rate her chances. The same connections had the runner-up in this race last year. So Mel Rowley, training for Poplar Cottage Racing, had the runner-up. And I could see Marmalade Time running a big race. She was the other one I considered. And to be honest, I could be vaguely tempted looking at the prices and saying, well, maybe I should switch to Marmalade Time because she's a fair bit bigger in the betting. But I do think that Party Vibes is open to a lot of improvement for stepping up to 2.5 miles for the first time. I suspect she's been laid out for the race all season. And she's got exactly the type of profile that the winner of this tends to have. So I'll stick with her. She's effectively racing up 116 with Alice Stevens, claiming 5 off her back as she was at Market Racing last time out. And I thought she won with plenty in hand last time. So maybe the handicapper has missed her.
Okay, perfect. That concludes ITV coverage at Newbury. One solitary race to conclude our preview from Bangor on Dee. It's the 1:30 at Bangor is on ITV this weekend. It's over a truncated 2.5 miles. The Dragon Bet best odds guaranteed a handicap hurdle. And we've got scheduled 8 to go to post. Jungle Jack tops the weights at Cheddleton, West of the Bridge, Williston, Uncle Bert, Banjacks, Clandonabo Lad, and Pick a Number making up the 8 scheduled to go to post at the time of recording. Rory DeLargy, the winner, please and thanks.
I'd love to see Banjacks win it, but that's more heart overhead. I went to see Lorna last season. I saw Banjacks work, and he's a funny mover. He's not a good looker, but he's a trier. And he got off the mark at Perth last season when I brought him over. He also ran really well in that Grade 2 Prestige Novice, or the Premier Novice Hurdle rather, at Kelso last season. Hasn't found that form in handicaps yet, but he wasn't disgraced at Ferry House last time. I can see Banjacks running a better race, but I thought the interesting one here, last year's winner Jungle Jack reverted to hurdles last time at Kelso and ran quite well. But there's an interesting angle here that I discovered yesterday looking at a different horse. Don McCain's horses, first time after wind surgery, have a poor record, and if you back them all, you'd lose a lot of money. But if you only backed his hurdlers on their second start after wind surgery, you'd be massively ahead. Mm. You'd be about 800 quid ahead to a £10 stake. Wow. Unfortunately, that didn't work out for me yesterday. He had one having a second start after wind surgery yesterday. Could only finish? Fourth. That was Home Sweet Highway. But the fact that I dug out the angle and looked at it makes Jungle Jack interesting because he ran very well on his first start after wind surgery, and the stats suggest that he should do better. He wasn't particularly well fancied in that race at Kelso last time out, but I think it will have done him good. And because he won this race last year, this may have been the race that they were bringing him back for, having just had the one start over fences at Wetherby in November. So he's higher in the weights than he was last year. He won this of 131, and he's now 135. So he does need to show that he's at least as good as he was last season. But I do like that angle of the wind surgery. I think it gives him an opportunity to go very close again.
I've heard that thesis before, not just around Donald McCain. And I have, unlike you, Rory, you being the consummate professional, having kind of profit and loss to back up your argument. But I believe, so I'm told, horses can go down to the start first time after their wind operation and not be overly enthused, expecting to have the usual breathing issues. And then it takes
only
a race
when they've been
to
in a race,
realize
yeah.
that they can breathe. So interesting to know that Donald McCain is very much in profit with second runs after wind operations. So Jungle Jack, very much one to look out for in the 1:30 at Bangor this Saturday afternoon live on ITV Racing. Righto, time for best bet of the weekend. Rory, you've hinted at what might be nap material.
I've had, you know, deliberately so that I'd remember it when I came back. And that's in the 2:10. At Newbury, where I think Cartoon & Co. looks a very good bet at 9-1.
Cartoon & Co. in the 210 at Newbury for Rory DeLargy. So concludes our run through this week's ITV Racing. My thanks to Rory. My thanks to you for listening. I've been Tom Nugent, and that was indeed another episode of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel and hit the little bell so you get notifications every time a video is posted, so you simply do not miss a beat. Next time, PK, I believe, is back from holidays. Until then, good luck.